Hello, welcome to This Week in Asia special episode. Now we are at Hackerspace, Singapore, and this is Bernard.
Yeah, hey, this is Daniel from Malaysia Entrepreneur, and today we have a very special guest. Well, you might see him around in the tech scene in Singapore. Well, Mr. Meng Wong Meng, or what do you want me to call you?
It's very confusing, isn't it?
Yeah. Wong Meng Wing. Meng Wing Wong. Meng Wong. Wong Wing. You should hear the things that people call me.
Right.
And for a long time, people always thought I was female. For some reason, all the Ang Moors think that Wong Meng Wing is a female name.
Okay.
You know?
So tell me a little bit about what you have been doing before Hackerspace.
Before Hackerspace, I spent a lot of time in the US. I jia a lot of kantang. And so now it's a problem whenever I go to China, you know. First you say xiao jie, and then you get in trouble. And then it turns out that you can't actually speak any Chinese at all. And they look at me and they're like, what is this? And they give me the tourist discount. Going around Singapore getting the tourist discount, very embarrassing. So, oh, what was your question? Right, so I was in the States, right? So I was in the U.S., and I went to school in the U.S. I was in Philadelphia, so I started my first company in Philadelphia. It's PO Box.com. And that was an email company. Then I moved out to California to start my second company, which was a sort of an anti-spam internet reputation company. And then I just moved back to Singapore about a year ago to work at a third startup here, also doing email anti-spam reputation. So my entire life has been in email and anti-spam. And I actually worked on some internet standards. Some of you may have heard of SPF, or sender ID, or RFC 4408, which Microsoft and Google and AOL are all using. So it was quite fun. That's sort of my big open source project. So I came back to Singapore after having attended a lot of hacker events in the US, in California, in the East Coast, West Coast. There's a very active hacker culture in Silicon Valley, as you would imagine. And I missed having that sort of scene. So, you know, Singapore is a fairly active bar camp scene. Southeast Asia generally has a lot of bar camps. But I felt like, you know, now that the hackerspace movement is taking off, hackerspaces are basically like a bar camp that never ends.
So actually, in the whole stage of setting up hackerspace, right, you had to get all the hackers together. So how did you assemble, how do you work together with your fellow co-founders and bring them together, and how do you decide that this, where we are, at this 78 Bussara Street in Singapore to be the location?
Well, so the thing about hackerspace was that, like anything else, right, it's a sort of an open source community effort. The whole open source way of doing things has been incredibly powerful. And every successful project that I've ever been associated with has been done the open source way, where there's just a mailing list, there's an IRC channel, there's a wiki, and whoever's interested just decides to get involved and they pitch in, and what needs to get done gets done. And if something didn't get done, it usually means that it didn't need to get done. So it's fairly anarchic. There was a group of probably about 20 people who were very enthusiastic about the idea of doing a hackerspace, and there was some discussion on the mailing list, there was discussion on the wiki. You know, most of the impetus actually came from a few guys out of NUS who recently graduated and said, hey, you know, college was the best time of our lives. Let's have a college experience again. And so I said to these guys, look, you know, if we're going to do it, let's do it, right? And they said, all right, well, what's the procedure? How are we actually going to make this a reality? And so I said, all right, fine, I'll help out a little bit. I'll try and overcome the initial energy barrier. And I spent some time walking around Kampung Glam, looking up in the sky, looking on the second floor at the for rent signs. So after we called a few agents, we said, hey, you know, can we rent this place? Can we rent that place? What's the rental? The usual process. And so we looked at a few locations. We looked at places in Geylang. We looked at places in Chinatown. We looked at Kampung Glam. And we liked the Kampung Glam vibe the most. It was very bohemian. You've got people sitting on the street. The cafes are open all night, smoking shisha. Everybody's quite chill. And Kampung Glam, this whole Bugis area, is as un-Singaporean as you can get and still be in Singapore. And we thought that's exactly true to the hacker spirit. So we said, okay, let's just get some members together. The way hackerspaces work, it's basically a membership club. And we found a few people who were willing to write checks. We asked them for 6-month commitments. Memberships range anywhere from 32 for a trial or 64 for a youth, 128 for a regular membership, 256 if you plan to actually use the space fairly often during the day, and 512 if you're going to be a sort of full-time resident, you want a desk with your own mouse and your own chair and your own space. And we just said, okay, let's take some pledges, and enough money came in that we said, okay, there's enough demand. Like any good entrepreneur, right, you go out and you estimate market demand for your product before you build the product. And so we went and we said, okay, people want this place, we'll go rent a shop house. We found a shop house, we rented it, and it was all done in about a process of 2-3 weeks. It's only been around for 3 weeks.
So I'm going to push a question a little bit. So we know we've been, a lot of us, you lead a discussion today at Newtony on Y Combinator, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about programs model of Y Combinator and why is it very successful. Do you have any thoughts like if this has to be adapted to, let's say, anywhere in Asia, not necessarily Singapore, could be even in KL, right, Savetas?
No, I have no idea, but the segment that you had this afternoon was very interesting, as in the sense that there were basically three elements in Y Combinator that you want to adapt and you want to put in a more Singaporean Asian flavor, and to sort of skew the Y Combinator model to something which is what Singapore is good at. So one thing that is really confusing that is you actually mentioned that it's a statistic that all the Y Combinator clone are relatively profitable. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, so Y Combinator, right, has been running for about 3-4 years now, and there's been enough time to do some studies, and there's this guy who's doing his MBA, and he did a project on Y Combinator and all the clones of Y Combinator, and it was actually quite a famous paper when it was released. I believe it's called Copying Y Combinator, and the guy who did it, his name is Jed Christiansen, J-E-D-C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-S-E-N. And if you look for Jed Christiansen Copying Y Combinator, you will see spreadsheets of every single startup done at Y Combinator and at any of the Y Combinator clones. Well, to call them clones is a little bit unfair, but that's the sort of common term. And you can look at Techstars, you can look at Seedcamp, you can look at the track record of how much money went into these startups and how much money came out when they got sold. And a number of them have actually gotten sold, right? So the big success story, Omnisio, was started, I believe, in the January batch last year or 2 years ago. And Paul Graham probably put about, you know, 10,000, 15,000 in, which is the usual amount. And they got sold about 7 months later to Google for 15 million. So, you know, that's a fantastic rate of return. And with enough of these successes, you can say that, yes, the microfunding, the seed funding, angel kind of model is actually feasible. And based on that, Sequoia recently put $2 million into Y Combinator as an investment. So here you have probably one of the biggest and best VC firms in the world saying, maybe the VC model is broken, maybe we should put a little bit of money into Paul Graham, who is disrupting us. So that's quite a smart thing for them to do. And it was, you know, it validates the entire model. So I'm thinking, if it's possible to sort of boot camp a company in less than a year, right? Y Combinator typically runs for a semester of 3 months. That's it. It is possible to build a company in 3 months. In fact, it's possible to build a company in 3 days. And that is what things like Startup Weekend are about. And if you look at the map of where all the clones are, you'll see a lot in the US, you'll see a lot in Europe, and you'll see absolutely none in Asia, right? And we're talking about not the typical incubator, right? The typical incubator is just, you know, here's some real estate, and we'll assign you a mentor, and the mentor will come in, you know, once a week or once a month, if you're lucky, and say, okay, guys, you know, how are the financials doing? And the kind of angel investors who really succeed in the States are the ones who roll up their sleeves and become almost a founder as well, right? The money really is the least of it. And so these themes, right, we just came from Neoteny camp today, and Joy Ito said some of the very same things. He said, as a founder, the amount of money that he puts in is not really relevant in terms of, you know, it's not Series A, it's not $2 million. It's just a placeholder for the value that he brings to the company by rolling up his sleeves and bringing his network and his wisdom and his experience. So I think there's room for that in this country. You know, there have been a number of small incubators already set up under the IJAM scheme mostly. And, you know, I take my hat off to these guys because they are doing what Paul Graham is doing, but they're doing it with one hand tied behind their back. It is very, very difficult to live if you are an IJAM incubator because there are several rules that government-funded organizations have to follow that Paul Graham, who's doing this completely private, Paul Graham doesn't have to follow these rules. And so I was wondering, would it be possible to do that, to do what Paul Graham is doing with a few twists to make it customized for AirAsia, right, that would make it successful? And most interesting, could we do this with a minimum of government assistance? Because we need the flexibility and the freedom to do what we need to do. And sometimes the things that we need to do, we cannot predict 6 months ahead or 12 months ahead, which is what you need if you're going to write the grant, right? You need to turn on a dime, you need to adapt, you need to be flexible. You need to say, all right, sorry, the business that we thought we were in turns out to be a bad idea. Let's change course, take the technology, redirect it, go into a different business. Maybe that'll work, right? And if you are stuck following government-approved business plans, you don't have the freedom to do that. And that is the kind of problem that a lot of these grantrepreneurs face.
Yep. So, yeah, we have a lot of grantrepreneurs, or people who just spend their time applying grants as well. Yeah.
Oh,
so
just before we do that, I mean, the grantrepreneur term was came up by Colin Charles, right? Or is it something you plucked from somewhere else?
No, it's not something I plucked from somewhere else.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. So, Bernard?
I was just thinking, this is going to be my last question, right? So if we ever thought of really setting up a Y Combinator clone in Singapore, actually, there is possibly another one that's coming out in Asia, which is the one that's happening in China by Li Kaifu, the former CEO of Google China. He set up Innovation Works, right, which is similarly in the same line of spirit. Mm-hmm. If we were to set up, what do you think would be the sort of base fund that we need to set up something like this? And what are ingredients? Okay, in very simple words, what do you think is the three ingredients? The fund size, the infrastructure, and maybe the type of people you want in this whole thing?
Well, the larger question is, you know, we're all trying to set up an ecosystem, right? And an ecosystem has to survive and prosper year after year after year, right? And the government has been doing everything in its power to make that possible. But there are a lot of important ingredients that are not the sort of thing that the government can do, right? And renting a small shop house next to a shisha cafe and inviting hackers to drink wine at midnight, you know, that's the sort of thing that the government is not very well equipped to accomplish. And so that's the sort of thing that the private sector, especially the private sector with the right kind of experience and background and intuition and culture, right? It's up to us to do that. And similarly, I think it's up to us to adapt the idea of Y Combinator to the Singapore context, right? I mean, the government, naturally conservative, government will say, okay, Paul Graham has done great. Let's look at the three things that Paul Graham has done, and let's import them to Singapore, and boom, we'll have a success, right? Or is that booms, we'll have a success?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
And so what are the three things that have made Y Combinator different? Well, you know, one of them is the idea that let's fail fast, right? Let's not run the company and run and run and run and, oh, no, we're out of money, so let's go and apply for another grant. And then you run and you run and you run. And then, oh, no, we're out of money, so let's go and do some consulting. You know, at that point, you're like, all right, guys, your product is not selling. Why don't you stop, right? Evan Williams said, okay, ODO is not working. I'm going to stop. And I'm going to go off and found Twitter. You know, think about the opportunity cost of all of these entrepreneurs chasing a failed idea, right? There's two kinds of persistence. One kind of persistence is where you're interested in a girl and she's not interested in you, and you keep chasing, right? And you can waste your whole life doing that. The other kind of persistence is you chase a girl, she's not interested in you, and you go find some other girl to chase. And you keep chasing different girls until you find one who wants you. Easy as that, right?
No, it doesn't.
So I want to encourage people to fail fast, go on a couple of dates. If you get no market traction, go find a different girlfriend, right? So that's one thing that Paul Graham does. He says, I'm going to run you for 3 months. You've got a semester, right? And people are very used to the academic idea of doing a semester. I think it's very natural. And so at the end of the semester, either you pass or you fail. If you pass, you collect $100 or $100,000, and you proceed to the next level. And if you fail, if the market said, okay, no thanks, we actually really don't want whatever you're doing, you say, okay, fine, we ran an experiment, and the experiment did not succeed. We didn't fail. We ran the experiment failed, and the market failed, but we are not failures, right? So the whole Kiasi thing doesn't have to apply. And that's, you know, I think that's very valuable. And running two of these batches a year means that you actually create tremendous deal flow for the other aspects, the other sectors in the ecosystem. You know, VCs love Paul Graham because he brings them exactly what they're looking for in terms of funding. Rather than coming to a VC with a half-assed business plan and a request for $3 million, or is it $4 million? We don't really know, so we're just going to ask, right? And they have no prototype, no product, no traction, no market, right? Paul Graham says to his companies, make something people want. Simple as that. Make something people want. We run an experiment, see if people want it. So that's one thing that Paul Graham brings. He brings them a little bit of money so that they can cover the living expenses of living in the Bay Area for a few months. And he brings them mentorship. He brings them Paul Graham. The Techstars guys are also a good example of this. They have a stable of 50 mentors, right? And a lot of these 50 mentors are startup entrepreneurs themselves who have made it, and therefore they are assumed to know what it takes. And they will roll up their sleeves and say, I've done it once, and I will help you do it again. And that is the sort of environment that we need in this country, right? We need a positive feedback, self-sustaining, virtuous cycle situation. We need to run people through the entire life cycle of an entrepreneur capitalist. Someone has to be not just an inventor when they come in, but they have to be an investor when they come out, right? We want to turn founders into funders, and that, I think, will make Singapore the next Silicon Valley.
So this afternoon, also, you mentioned about some sort of mating process or reproduction process. Can you just explain a bit?
I don't remember what I was talking about. I'm constantly thinking about reproduction.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I'm constantly thinking about mating and reproduction. So
I mean you compare reproduction from an elephant to actually nurturing.
Right. So let me talk about reproducing with elephants.
Yeah.
So maybe you could look up for me what is the gestation period for an elephant, okay? And if you ask me whether I'm talking about African elephants or Indian elephants, I'm just gonna like fall off the bridge. So if you're an elephant, and you know, you go through life as an elephant, and you have a baby elephant, right? Now, if you're a mommy elephant, in your entire lifetime, you're probably only going to be able to produce, you know, 5 or 6 baby elephants, right? And so you've got a, 18-month gestation period? 22-month gestation period. That is a lot longer than, you know, even the amount of time that Singapore women take. From the time you start, I mean, courting and, okay. So anyway, so you've got these, like, 22-month baby elephants. You're putting a huge amount of resources in, right? And when that baby elephant pops out, you do your best to make sure that it grows up, right? And that is what biologists call K-selection. As opposed to if you're a fish, right? You're a fish, you're like, all right, I'm going to have some babies now, and you go off and you lay 1 million eggs, and then you're like, all right, guys, good luck, bye, right? And you swim away. And that is what biologists call R-selection. And in the past, right, the VC model was, let's go make some really big bets and figure out who's going to succeed, and then we'll sit on the board of directors, and we will do our very best to make this company survive. And that's case selection. And the difference with Paul Graham's Y Combinator model is he says, okay, well, you know, we don't really know which of these experiments are going to succeed. We don't know if the market is ready for, you know, a Web 2.0 social travel site or a Web 2.0 social shopping site or a social networks for Google Apps. So I don't know, you don't know, nobody knows. Rather than speculate, right, in a sort of alpha male kind of way about who's going to win and who's not, let's just run some experiments, be scientific, and do some R selection. And so that's what these Y Combinator pre-seed accelerators are all about. Run the experiment. We don't know. Let's figure it out.
Okay. Well, I think we had a really good, interesting discussion about hackerspace and also the sort of what type of Y Combinator that we really need in Singapore, maybe perhaps even for Asia. So, yep, we are going to... where can we find you, Ming?
Well, I keep office hours at the hackerspace mostly. I just went and bought $500 worth of wine, so that'll keep me well supplied until the new year, at least. So if anybody wants to come by, you guys are welcome. The technology community in Singapore and in Southeast Asia are all welcome to just drop by number 70A, Basra Street, which is Beach Road right next to Arab Street. And usually there are people here all night, starting from about 7 o'clock in the evening after work till about 2, 3 in the morning.
Your URL?
The URL, hackerspace.sg.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's all for this week in Asia with Wing Ming Wong.
Yeah, one of those.
Okay, founder of Hackerspace SG together with a bunch of NUS students. So, so Bennett and Niall signing off for now. Thank you.
Thanks, Ming Ming. Thanks. Great. Bye.
Bye. Unbelievable.